On this week's edition of New York Now, New York's economy is in the gutter. On this special episode, we'll get how that affects you and how some lawmakers want to fix it. First, Democrats have some ideas to fill the state's budget gap, including tax hikes for the rich. We tell you about their plans and how they've been received by Republicans and analysts. Then, the state's finances also affect local governments and counties, and that means trouble for services and your tax bill. Steve Aquario from the Association of Counties and Albany County Executive Dan McCoy are with me to discuss. I'm Dan Clark, and this is New York Now.
Today, the Senate majority will pass
a law prohibiting it, and we will take them to court challenging it.
Yet another stand for New York and sending a message to the nation.
Welcome to this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark. If you're watching the show this week, that means you have just a few days to fill out this year's census. The deadline is at the end of the month, and the census is really important, especially this year. Not only does the census decide how many seats in Congress the state gets, it also determines how much federal funding we get for things like education and health care. So if there's an undercount, that means New York will miss out on money from the federal government. And we're at a time right now when every penny counts in New York. The state is facing a $14 billion budget deficit heading into next year. And there isn't really a clear plan for filling that gap. Governor Andrew Cuomo says that wouldn't be a problem if New York got money from Congress. And now he's shifting the politics of the situation onto them. Here he is Thursday.
Before you get to how much did COVID cost us, there's a question before that. Who is liable for the cost of COVID? You know who's liable for the cost of COVID? Washington, D.C. It was their gross negligence that brought COVID here in the first place.
But Republicans in Congress don't want to be seen as bailing out a state like New York, where Cuomo and other Democrats have placed a target on President Trump this year. And that's not good. The clock is ticking on the state's finances. Cuomo says that between the state and New York City and certain agencies, like the MTA, New York needs more than $50 billion in aid over the next 2 years. That is just a huge number. Just for context, the entire state budget of New York is about $180 billion. So we're not talking about small beans. And state lawmakers are now thinking about other ways to help bridge the budget gap. Take a look. New York has a problem, and it's a big problem. A $30 billion with a B problem. That's how much money the state says it's going to lose in tax revenue over the next 2 years because of the coronavirus. And for the past few months, Governor Andrew Cuomo has hedged his bets on the federal government filling that gap. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, at least not anytime soon. Congress has not come to a deal on a stimulus package, and Cuomo's relationship with President Trump probably won't get better as we head into this year's elections. So now the state has to consider other options for filling the deficit. And broadly speaking, there's two of them. Either get money from somewhere else or cut state spending. Right now, Cuomo says the state's planning to cut spending in the short term and see how it shakes out down the road.
If they don't provide state and local funding, it will be financial chaos. The deficit is so large that we would have to do everything. We'd have to cut the budgets, and cutting the budgets hurts, especially now.
But no one wants to cut spending because that would probably mean less money for schools and healthcare. So Democrats who control the state legislature are considering a few proposals to bring more money into the state's coffers, mostly by taking it from the wealthy. The one they talk about most is raising tax rates on people with a lot of money. And we're not talking about people who make six figures. We're talking about multimillionaires and billionaires. And it's not a new idea. Some lawmakers supported higher taxes on the wealthy before the pandemic to put more funding into things like education and social services. State Senator Jessica Ramos from Queens is one of those Democrats.
The income inequality issue in New York has been the worst in the country for a very long time, way before the pandemic. And so what we've always wanted to do is balance the scale more so that we're actually able to help those least among us.
Ramos supports legislation from State Senator Rachel May, which would raise taxes on people making over $100 million each year. But she also has her own bill to tax the rich called a mark-to-market tax. It would only apply to the state's billionaires, and it would create a new tax on what are called capital gains. That's when the value of something goes up, but you don't sell it. Think of stocks. If you invest in something and its stock goes up, that stock is now worth more than when you bought it. But you don't profit unless you sell the stock. Ramos wants the state to treat that difference in value as income and have it taxed. She says it could generate more than $5 billion for the state every year from the wealthy.
They've made $77 billion over the past 4 months. And so asking them to contribute just enough for all of them to come up with $5.5 billion is really chump change to them and would provide some stability for thousands of New Yorkers.
That money would then be used to pay about $3,000 every month to certain low-income people. And while everyone agrees that the state and federal governments need to find a way to help those people, not everyone wants to do it by raising taxes. State Senator Pam Helming is a Republican who represents a district between Rochester and Syracuse. She's worried that rich people will move to another state if New York tries to make it more expensive to live here, especially in the age of COVID, when people have learned to work from anywhere.
So to me, the concern is if we do this tax on millionaires and billionaires, and they're primarily located in the city area, they now know they can work from anywhere, they are going to relocate and they're going to take their jobs with them. That's going to mean problems, right, for working class people.
Believe it or not, Governor Cuomo actually sides with Republicans on that point. He's worried the state could lose a major part of its tax base if rich people move somewhere else. Right now, more than 40% of the total income tax collected by New York State every year comes from the top 1% of earners. So if New York loses even a small share of those people, it could mean a lot for the state's bottom line. And we're at a time right now when a lot of rich people are considering a move out of New York after what happened with the coronavirus. Here's EJ McMahon, an economic analyst from the Empire Center for Public Policy.
So you've got people who are on the fence, who are actively considering, well, am I going to come back to New York State or not? Or maybe am I going to move possibly somewhere else now? What do I think? And the message sent by these proposals is, well, get lost, or it's going to cost you to come back. We have added costs, and we're going to shove the entire added cost to you if you come back.
But it's also worth noting that this isn't the first time New York would be asking its wealthiest residents to pay more in taxes after a crisis. New York City raised taxes on high-income earners after 9/11 to help with the city's recovery. And in the middle of the Great Recession, when New York was facing a budget deficit of nearly $14 billion, the state raised tax rates for people making more than $1 million a year. That was called the millionaire's tax, and it's actually still in effect today. That means wealthy earners in New York City actually pay the second highest income tax rate in the country. But it also means that people who make $1 million a year pay the same tax rate as people who make $1 billion a year. It's those super high income earners that Democrats want to raise taxes on. And some analysts warn that if we don't raise taxes on the super rich, the rest of the state will pay the price.
We cannot ask those who have been most impacted by this pandemic to shoulder the burden of balancing the budget. It's simply unreasonable. And history has shown us over and over again that when we're in times of crisis, we ask the wealthiest among us to pay a little bit more.
Lawmakers like Ramos also raise the point that, as of now, New York is out of options for raising revenue. And if the only other option to cut spending is raising taxes on the wealthy, it seems like a no-brainer to them. The revenue generated from taxing high-income earners would be used to fund things that a larger share of residents rely on, like schools and local governments. And it's those people that Ramos says she's worried about losing to other states if New York has to cut spending.
The more working class folks we lose, that's already our tax base. If we keep losing them, our coffers are going to be lighter. So anything we get from billionaires is actually a net gain.
And we don't know if the rich will actually move out of the state if they're hit with higher tax rates. It's been more than a decade since New York enacted the millionaires tax, and the state has still gained thousands of millionaires in that time. Supporters of higher taxes on the rich believe wealthy people will stay in New York because they like it here and the high taxes are worth it.
The reality is that billionaires can live anywhere they want, and they choose to live in New York because they want to live in New York, they're connected to New York, right?
But that's just one idea for closing the state's budget gap. There's another that would still create new taxes on the rich even if they move their primary home to another state. It's called the pied-à-terre tax, and it's not a new idea. It would place a special tax on second homes in New York City worth more than $5 million. It's designed to target people wealthy enough to own a second home in the five boroughs, whether they live there or not. It's sponsored by State Senator Brad Hoyleman, who says it could apply to as many as 5,000 homes in New York City right now.
The very wealthy who use New York City as a safe and secure place to keep their wealth is undertaxing them. And they're not paying income tax. They're paying very little taxes elsewhere in the city and the state of New York. So this is a way, I believe, for New York and New York City to recoup its losses as it pertains to these very wealthy people.
Hoyleman says the tax could generate hundreds of millions of dollars each year. One downside, that money would only be collected by New York City, not the state. But it could take some pressure off Albany to fix the city's finances. New York City is facing a $9 billion budget deficit on its own over the next 2 years. And for that kind of shortfall, there's no silver bullet. Even if the state passed both the pied-à-terre tax and the mark-to-market tax, New York City and New York State would still be billions of dollars short of filling their budget gaps. That's why some think the state should be looking at ways to cut spending in the short term to preserve services in the long term. Here's Assemblyman Ed Raw, a Republican from Long Island.
Our tax base, the more we rely on these individuals, the more volatile it gets. And I think that, like I said, something that is very attractive in the short term may end up just kicking the can down the road and us still having to find ways to deal with the things that we want to be able to fund, like education and higher education and healthcare.
Raw is the highest ranking Republican on the Ways and Means Committee in the Assembly, which negotiates the state budget every year. And he's part of a group of lawmakers that think the state could be spending the money it already has in a more efficient way. Some analysts say that doesn't have to be done in a way that dramatically impacts services. Take school aid, for example. Right now, the state is planning 20% cuts to school districts across the board. But E.J. McMahon from the Empire Center says there are other ways the state could be saving money on education.
There's going to have to be a significant cut in school aid. The school aid cut should be targeted to those districts that are least dependent on state aid, which is the wealthiest district, to provide a measure of protection for the poorest district. And all districts should be relieved of the obligation to be paying generous pay increases during this recession.
But Democrats also have other ideas to raise revenue for the state. And one could raise as much as $16 billion for the state every year. It's called the stock transfer tax. It would place a new tax of 0.25% on stock transactions. So for every dollar, that means it would be taxed 0.25 cents. And it's actually not new. The stock transfer tax was in place for decades before the state did away with it in the early 80s. But now some Democrats say it's time to bring the tax back, especially when the stock market is doing so well. Assemblyman Phil Steck sponsors a bill to reinstate the tax.
I think ironically, the stock transfer tax is the hardest one to avoid for a number of reasons. One, as we've seen in this time period, the market has been doing extremely well, even though the rest of the economy has not been.
There's not enough support in the legislature for reinstating the tax, and there's a few reasons for that. When the tax was dropped in the 80s, it was partly out of the fear that the stock market would move to New Jersey. Steck says that some lawmakers think that might still happen if the tax comes back, and some say that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Again, the risk is you do it in New York, and all you do is you give more people a bigger incentive to do whatever they do somewhere else. These are all these things are sort of seen as geese laying golden eggs that aren't laying enough eggs. So let's cut them open and pull the eggs out. And what you end up with is a dead goose.
But supporters of the stock transfer tax say the market is doing so well right now that not imposing the tax would almost be negligent. Despite the pandemic, the S&P 500 still hit a record high in August. And Steck says New Jersey's track record for trying to steal the stock market hasn't played out so well in the past.
We had it in New York for a very long time. It caused no harm. No one moved anywhere. And by the way, New Jersey tried a million ways to try and induce brokerage firms, the stock exchange, to move to New Jersey.
All of these proposals have their downsides. The mark-to-market tax, some say that might not even be legal under the Constitution. But more Democrats have moved closer this year to supporting the concept of raising revenue from the wealthiest New Yorkers. Both the Assembly Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader have said their members would back something like that. But lawmakers have yet to strike a deal on an actual bill. And then there's the possibility of a veto from Governor Cuomo if he doesn't like the idea. Democrats don't have enough votes right now to override that veto, but that could change in this year's elections. Either way, lawmakers won't return to Albany unless they have a bill to pass. And in an election season, that's anyone's guess. So a lot of this is controlled by politics. But stuck in the middle are local governments and counties. They're facing their own budget problems, and they were already struggling to make ends meet before the COVID-19 crisis. And things are only going to get worse if the state cuts spending for local governments. So now they're planning for the worst case scenario and what that would look like for people in New York. I spoke with Steve Aquario from the New York State Association of Counties and Albany County Executive Dan McCoy, who heads the State County Executives Association. Steve Aquario from NYSAC and Albany County Executive Dan McCoy, thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So we are talking about the numbers today. It is all about revenue. It's all about spending, this big crisis the state is in. Steve, I want to start with you. Mm-hmm. The state itself is facing a $14 billion deficit just over the next year. I know it's going to vary by county, but what does it look like for counties across the state in terms of their financial crisis?
Well, it's a fragile economy right now. Sales tax took a dramatic hit almost as soon as the public health crisis hit the state of New York and hit the counties. It was an economic crisis. And so what we've been able to track in the past 6 months or so and tabulate and do some modeling right now is we are forecasting about a $9 billion hit to the city of New York and $4.5 billion to the rest of the counties around the state. So the 57 counties, we're projecting around $4.5 billion and the city of New York, $9 billion. That's a lot of money.
That is too much. I can't even think of that much money.
And the suddenness in which it occurred. If we look at the Great Recession, it took a couple of years to get into that situation in 2008 and 2009. This happened in a matter of months. For us to have this sudden of an economic impact in this state, and for our viewers and people, New Yorkers listening to the show or watching the show or understanding these numbers, it's real. This is service delivery that's impacted. These are programs and services that affect people. It's not just a theoretical number. This is a service. This is a job to someone or a service to someone.
So the state is planning cuts of up to 20% for localities, counties included. I shouldn't say planning. May or may not happen. Planning is probably the right word, but may or may not happen. Where is that going to hit hardest in counties in terms of the services that they provide to people? Because people may not know that counties do quite a bit for people in their communities.
Well, is it equitable? That's the argument. This is arguably going to hit the most vulnerable of our citizens, our older adults, our seniors who deserve meals, our veterans programs, our youth. In the midst of a pandemic, the thought, Dan, of cutting 20% in local public health funding, it just makes absolutely zero sense to even consider that as an option. After all, Dan McCoy did as the leader of Albany County and the county executives through the entire pandemic, only to come out of this public health crisis to be slapped across the face and told, yeah, we're going to cut you 20% now. And all of these programs, social service programs, human service programs, folks that affect disadvantaged communities at a time when they could least afford it. Now we need to be providing more services, not reduce those services.
So let's look ahead to filling the budget gap. County Executive McCoy, NYSAC put together a report that outlines some ideas for filling the state's budget gap in terms of helping counties out, helping the state out. One that struck me and I think would be interesting for a lot of viewers is the legalization of marijuana. And that's something that we've talked about for years now here in Albany County. It's, I think, especially important because we're right across the border from Massachusetts, where people are going to get their marijuana if they are to use it, and then coming back here. So we're not getting that tax revenue. Talk to me about, if it was legalized here, what it would look like in terms of the money side of it. Would it bring a lot of revenue to counties? Is it a long-term solution?
It is a solution. It's one that we pushed last year at NYSAC, and we got into debates, you know, and I know you look at the good side and the bad side, but you bring up the excellent point. It's being done by our neighbors.
Right.
And if you look at the restaurants and little towns where these areas where they popped up, they went up 110% in business alone. So our residents of New York State are already traveling out of the state to get this. So to bring it back into Albany County alone is a game changer. Like, you know, if the governor cuts 20% out of all of our programs across Albany County alone, that's a $20 million hit on top of the $30 million I'm probably in the hole already. So I'm looking at a $50 million deficit. It's a game changer. It can help with some programs or education where, you know, being a county executive, you know, in the suburbs, all the schools are open. But the inner city schools that need the most services, we have uptick in crime in the city of Albany up 240%, the highest city in the state of New York, and yet now these kids are at home. So to address issues like that, that this could be something that could offset that to get the money where it needs to be to help, you know, inner city kids out to have a different outcome in life. And that outcome in life's not going to change if we continue to cut across the board. And I know it's, you know, easy for me to say that, you know, but when you're looking at I think you just said $14 billion deficit in the state
of New York.
Oh,
it's huge.
It's
crazy.
People don't realize the effect the health crisis that we're in and the economy crisis that we're in. And it's, I'm scared for next year. I'm more scared for 2022 because we're going to see hotels not open up, restaurants not open up, people lose their jobs, and it's going to be that ripple effect. And I can tell you as a county executive, there's so many great programs that I don't want to cut back. But again, if I'm not getting 20%, how do I do that? I was just talking to my health commissioner, and there's a 100% grant funded position, and we just hired somebody, and I'm not filling it at that salary. And I'm like, we're probably going to lose 20%. I have to brace for what I can brace for, because going forward, if we lose that revenue, how do I continue to do the services people are entitled to?
So let's zoom out. In the broader picture, there's a lot of less exciting, I guess, revenue raisers than marijuana. And obviously this all has an impact, as you were saying. What are some of those ideas to get money to counties? Because, you know, there, like you said, there are two options. You can either get money from somewhere else, or you have to cut spending. And I don't think anybody wants to cut spending. So if it's not coming from the federal government, and is there anything the state could do, like authorize higher sales taxes, for example?
We have to look at spending, though. We have to. The state of New York has to look at its spending. Is it spending more than it's taking in revenue? If that happens at the county level, we have to cut services.
Right.
If we're not collecting enough in revenue, we have to cut services. I think the state of New York has to do the same thing. Regardless of what happens with our economy here, if the federal government invests in state and local governments' revenue losses, which they should. But in the meantime, we have to look at state spending and we have to look at revenues. What are they? What are the types of revenue? You mentioned sales tax. We have to be mindful. I was talking to somebody earlier today about consumer spending. Can the consumer afford more taxes?
Right.
We have to be cognizant of the unemployed, the underemployed. How much can people afford? We have two forms of revenue at the county level: property and sales tax. That's how we operate government. So we have to look at additional revenues like 911 surcharges. We have Airbnb and short-term rentals that are going on where we're not collecting sales taxes. We're not collecting occupancy taxes. That's revenue that's owed to the people, to the taxpayers, and we need to begin to collect those other forms of revenue. So we have to talk about revenue. We have to work with our state legislature, with our governor, to figure out what can be cut and as far as services, and what revenue can we put into the mix.
County Executive, last word. When does the clock run out on this? Obviously, you need the money as soon as possible, but when does it become crunch time?
I have literally probably 14 days. I got to start to deliver my budget. I'm putting it together now. And it's hard. You don't have a crystal ball. You try to predict what the budget's going to look like. So if, you know, not knowing truly if the governor's going to take any of the ideas that NYSAC has shared, us as counties, not just county executives, but county managers across the state, to say, hey, here in a partnership, we can do this and work better together and get the Senate and Assembly on board and stop passing it all down to us. We can get through it, but my problem is this. I have to deliver the budget. It's going to have to go. Then it goes to my legislature, and we're going to have to work through this. And unfortunately, I'm trying to avoid layoffs, trying to predict how much funding I've already lost and what we're going to lose next year. So the quicker we all get together and try to agree, which seems to be impossible, take party politics aside. You know, I don't care what party you are. We need to work for the people. We're there to work for the people. We represent the same people. And the only way we're going to get this done is truly coming together as one and showing them that we can get this done for the people of New York State.
All right, well, we will see what happens. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy, Steve Aquario from NYSAC, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
For now, the Cuomo administration says it's already reduced spending by $4 billion. And that's not counting cuts that could be coming to school districts. But most have been spared for now. That's something we'll be watching over the next few months. But we'll leave it there for this week. Thanks for watching this week's New York Now. Have a great week and be well.